So here's my dilemma.
Okay.
Sonny and I had some work done in our house not too long ago.
Okay.
And the guy comes in, and I don't know what to do.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Dan.
And you're listening to Conversations in Community, where we talk about the dilemmas of life,
the ups and downs of living in community,
and hear stories from real people.
And the guy comes in, and I don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do, meaning you got to show him where to go,
yeah.
Or he's already there and you're like, what do I do now?
They're there doing the work.
Okay.
What do I do? Can I continue my normal life?
Yeah.
Do I have to talk to them? Do I have to engage with them? Do I have to just wander the house, like pace back and forth? What do I do?
It sounds like this doesn't feel like your house anymore.
No.
When someone has come in.
Correct.
Right. And you want to be available in case they need you, but it feels awkward because the home is an intimate place, right?
Very.
And you've invited some guy or girl in to do work, and they're in your space.
Like, can you just sit on your couch? Like, I can never fully get comfortable when someone's in my house doing work.
Yeah.
Like, I can't lean back in my couch. Like, put my back on the backrest. No, I'm always, like, on edge.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching an action movie.
Uh-huh. Are you worried that they're going to see something in the way that you live your life normally, that you're afraid to live your life normally?
Or, could be. But I just don't know. Am I allowed? Like, could I eat?
Yeah.
Can I just go to the microwave and heat up food and eat?
Yeah.
You know, this poor guy's face deep in my HVAC system, and I'm just eating microwave pizza upstairs. Like, is that okay?
Yeah.
I kind of
feel like you're indulging somehow because somebody's working hard on something in your house and you're...
And I'm just chilling.
Yeah.
And not doing anything.
That's really funny.
Have you experienced this? What do you do?
Well, I try to do stuff myself, but there are times when I just reach that limit. And yeah, I think, well, I'm naturally curious. Okay. So I'm like, I want to know how something's done.
Okay.
And I'm like a nightmare to these guys because I come in and I'm looking over their shoulder and that's got to be miserable.
Yeah. That might be a generational thing too, because that's what my father-in-law would do.
Oh no.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It's true.
But my father-in-law would be like, if we had our basement waterproofed, my father-in-law would have been sitting on the steps just watching and interviewing them. Like, oh, what are you doing over there?
Yeah.
Oh, is this, how do you guys do that? And me, I'm like, how far away can I get from these people without being rude?
Well, I'm going to give you a picture of your future self when I describe you will be doing this someday.
Probably.
No, I'm curious, but I do think to myself how hard it must be to work in a house. Because it's not like, I mean, you're a pilot, right? It's not like somebody says, well, I want to figure out how to be a pilot. I'm going to go up in the cockpit and watch you fly.
Yeah.
You know, how annoying.
Exactly.
Well, first of all, it's illegal.
True. But it would be annoying.
It would be annoying, yeah. So these guys or girls have to deal with that every time they go in somebody's house.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to get from this customer? What are they going to ask me
Oh, that's another thing. Do you have to give them something? Like, if you order a pizza, do they get slices? Do you offer them a drink?
Mm-hmm.
I
do, actually. I just had this happen. There's a guy jackhammering concrete in the back of my yard. And after a while, I'm like, that guy's got to be thirsty. And so I went and took stuff out to him. But
that's nice.
Yeah, I try to do that. But
okay. Yeah, I just don't know what to do. I'm just like an idiot, just pacing in my own house.
Yeah.
Back and forth. Yeah. And like just kind of passing them just... So that way they can like see me out of the corner of their eye. Just I'm just letting you know I'm still here. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Well, here's a question for you. How many times can you enter the person's space before it becomes uncomfortable?
Oh, for me, it's like one. Okay. I get one time. I get one question.
So different.
I ask him, hey, what's the price on this? And if he says something, that's the question.
That's the question.
That's it.
Right.
And now I've waited until they're done with whatever.
Wow. And what if he has a question like, hey, sir, you wanted this done. Do you want it done this way or that way?
I panic because I'm like, I don't know.
This is back to drive-thru thing.
This full circle here, full circle. No, I'm just, normally I'm like, well, what do you think?
Yeah.
And then they could be scamming me for all I know. And I'm just like, oh, you're probably right.
Okay, one more question. Would you ever leave the house and just say, hey, I'm going to be going. Go ahead and do what you need to do.
I've only done that when we had our patio in the backyard put in.
Okay.
They we had to go do something, but they had no, they didn't have to come to the house anyway. So they were on property, but they weren't in the house. So I like opened the sliding door. I'm like, hey, we're just running to the grocery store. Close and lock the door, and then yeah. we just leave.
Wow.
But if they're in the house, no, I'm staying. I'm in for the long haul. Welcome back to episode 6.
That's right. Wow.
Episode 6.
We got all the way through season 1.
All the way through season 1. Yes.
That's crazy.
This is the last episode of this season.
We accomplished a goal.
And we're going to set another goal.
And what is that goal?
Next year. Be on the lookout.
Okay.
For more episodes. 2026.
Season 2.
Season 2.
All right.
Speaking of 2026, we're reaching the end of 2025.
Yes. It's coming up quick.
Holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Christmas.
Yeah.
You got any plans?
Thanksgiving, we are going up to the Akron-Canton area to be with my wife's family, which will be really fun.
Turkey guy?
I don't like turkey.
Oh, man, I love you turkey. You too? I love turkey.
Yeah, I'd like to see a survey and see who likes it and who doesn't.
I think it'd be shockingly close.
Yeah. One year, Lara's parents made Cajun turkey.
Ooh.
And I will tell you, that was really good, and I could eat that. But regular turkey,
I love turkey. Turkey and stuffing.
I think it's a conspiracy. I think everybody just like...
everybody secretly hates it.
Yeah, you must like this. No, I don't like it.
Mm.
All right. But you love turkey. Okay.
I do love turkey.
Okay. Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm a dark meat guy. Actually, it's kind of sad. I'm going to actually be gone both holidays. I'll be down in Dallas for training.
Oh, that's right.
I know. I fly out on Thanksgiving, the morning of Thanksgiving, and then I fly, and then I come back on Christmas Day.
That's so unfamily friendly.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's like the airlines run 24/7 or something.
I'm sorry about that. But it's a unique time you're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a one time off. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the decor? You got any Christmas decorations on yet?
Oh, no.
No?
No. Well, here's the thing. We have a rule in our house. It's got to be after Thanksgiving.
Mm.
That's our rule. I have tried to push that a little bit. And this year, I actually made some traction. I just brought the trees up.
Okay.
But they have to remain covered Ooh. Until the day after.
Are
but
they
we'll
decorated
have everything
underneath?
In place. My goal is just get everything in place.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. You?
Yeah, not us. Our house threw up with Christmas. November 1st. November 1st, Sonia was pointing out which bins to bring up from the basement, and by the end of the day, holly jolliness all through the Jaguar household.
Okay, so Halloween's done then
oh, yeah.
on October 31st,
oh, yeah.
and you go right into
it. Yeah, Halloween doesn't even get the whole day. Like trick-or-treating ended, and then boom. Like, I put the Christmas lights up outside
yeah.
already, because it was like 60 degrees.
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
I got it. I'm going to thank myself when it's, you know, That's minus
true.
Four in
I
December.
Have a dream every year of doing outdoor Christmas lights. We even have some now, and I just never do it.
I will say I was unsupervised on the ladder.
Uh-oh.
Very, very tall, like 18 Uh-oh. Foot peaks that I'm putting
gosh.
Up these lights. And I'm like, man, I'm the only one home. I'm like, not smart, but it's
I
okay.
I feel like it's got to be done well, and I just wouldn't do it well. You ever go by houses? And I appreciate everybody's decorations.
They look like they're
I don't
just
want
thrown
rip anybody.
Out there.
Yeah, it's like you see one strand of little lights
yeah.
over part of their house. And I'm glad for that. I like lights, but...
Make
I,
it look good.
I want
Make
yeah,
it look
I want
good.
To look good.
Yep. Yeah. Now, to be fair, I haven't turned them on yet. I just put them up.
Okay.
So I haven't turned them on.
Okay.
I just... Took advantage of the good weather.
When do you get to turn them on?
I will turn them on when my wife says, I want to turn them on.
So she's in charge of Christmas.
So she's fully, okay. full-fledged in charge of Christmas.
Okay.
Oh, good
that's
stuff.
That's hilarious. Yep.
Well, we've mentioned this before, but part of what we do here on this podcast, we dive deeper into our small group families. And Dan, you've been leading us in that. Thank you for that. And today you're... transitioning us into transformation.
Yeah. We talked last time, if you remember, we talked about honesty and what it means to come as we are to our small group family. And today I kind of want to build on that idea. I want to actually look at how God actually uses that kind of honesty to transform us in community. Transformation is one of those words we use a lot, but what does it really mean? I mean, we know that the Bible talks about the fact that God is in the business of transforming our hearts and our lives, making us more like Jesus. In fact, Paul talked about don't be conformed to this world, to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that word transformation, it just means a complete change from the inside out. And here's the thing, God never intended for that change to happen in isolation. He intended it to happen through others, through community. And when I think about it, it's really kind of crazy because you think back at the beginning of the church, everyone was thrown together, right? All the believers, and they didn't have things in common, right? They were very different people. Jews had to learn to love Gentiles. Those who were well off had to learn to love those who were poor and vice versa. Those who had different politics had to learn to love one another. And that's the environment for a real transformation to happen. Not so much if we're just learning to love those who we like or those who are like us, right? So in community, through real relationships, we can be transformed by learning to love each other and by we have to speak loving truth into each other's lives, right? So there's this proverb in Proverbs 27. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that is like an amazing picture of closeness, of friction, of shaping. I see iron doesn't get sharpened from a distance. It takes contact. And that's what happens in a small group family. When we do life closely enough to bump into each other, God uses that friction. He uses it to grow us and to give us, help us develop patience and humility and even love for others. Now, here's the thing. It's not easy. It's not easy. It often happens in times where things are messy, when we have junk going on in our lives, when someone disappoints us, when we misunderstand each other. That's when God does his deepest work. Here's something interesting that I think followers of Jesus often overlook. We have the letters in the New Testament, and they were written to communities. And it's easy for us to read those as individuals, like isolated individuals, right? But when Paul writes something like this, he wrote in Colossians 3, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. When he does the same thing in the passage, he reminds us to take off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. He's writing that to a community together. He's saying, be transformed together. Why? It's because God designed healing and growth to take place in community. When we bring our struggles into the light with people who love Jesus and love us, the power of shame, it just starts to break. And that's why small groups are such a gift.
And I want to interject here. Yeah. I've been a part of groups where mm-hmm. people have brought up heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. And man, talk about, that iron sharpens iron is just, it's really cool to watch. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to, I've even shared some stuff too in my group. That's not easy to share, but man, you're talking about transformation. Like I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but it's powerful. Yeah. It's a powerful, powerful thing, sharing with people and bringing people through your dark times rather than trying to go alone.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Sometimes it goes really well and sometimes it doesn't. That's because small groups are not perfect, but they're not meant to be perfect. They're a place where God takes us and he uses just our honesty, our grace with each other, our love to shape each other into the image of Christ. And I've seen it happen again and again. Like you said, people open up and all of a sudden people draw closer to you, not farther away, because they realize they're not alone. They face sometimes some of the same struggles. So that's transformation in motion. It's not always dramatic, but it's real. So if you're a part of a small group, remember this. Your group isn't just about a Bible study. It's not just a weekly check-in to see how you're doing. It's a place where God's Spirit is at work, using every honest conversation, every prayer, every act of forgiveness to shape you into who he created you to be. He wants to transform you from your old self to your new self. And often he carries that work forward through the people sitting in your living room on a Tuesday night. So as you go to your next group, here's a simple prayer. I just challenge you to pray it. God, use my small group family to transform me, and use me to help transform them. If we keep showing up honestly, consistently, humbly, I think God will do what only he can do. He'll make us more like Jesus together. So with that, let's go to our interview today. We've got a great interview with
Victor.
Victor.
Yes.
Excited to hear.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Yeah. He's actually in our group. He's in our small group.
So that's cool.
Learned some stuff about him again that I had no idea. That's why I love this.
Yeah. Okay. So here's Brian's interview with Victor.
Well, welcome everybody. I am here with Victor.
Hello.
How you doing, Victor?
I'm doing
good.
Great
to be
man.
Here. How are Fun you? Fact: Victor and I are in a group together.
We are.
And I have noticed this with every guest. Even though we're in a group,
yeah.
I still don't know a lot about you, dude.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I wanted you on here.
Sounds good.
Give the people your story.
Of course.
Because one thing that we're going to start with.
Okay.
That most people don't know.
Yeah.
You are not from here.
I am not from here.
You are from the
Dominican Republic. Yes.
So, what brought you here, dude? How did you get here from DR?
Oh, my goodness.
I know that's a very loaded question.
It is. It's actually such a long story.
Where can we start? Where do you think we can start?
Okay, so first of all, I think it started when I was three. It's going way back.
First memories at three?
Okay. Yep. I remember my parents. So my parents have always been like visionaries. Right, and they wanted their kids to do something that they couldn't do, which was talk English, right?
Which you do very well, by the way.
Oh, thanks. So it's all thanks to them. This is why the story's so long. So my parents have always been admirers of this country, always were, and they were closer. Like, people used to think that Dominicans and Caribbean people were more inclined to, you know, their Spanish ancestry or the African ancestry that we have there as well. In fact, like, I have both of them, mm-hmm. right? Like, my dad is part African. My mom is, like, her whole family came from Spain. But in fact, it is more the U.S. that has the more geopolitical influence over the Dominican Republic. It's almost everything. Like, for example, we say words like hamburger, like in Dominican slang, right? Or hot dogs. Like, we don't say...
What is hamburger in Dominican slang?
It's hamburger.
Just hamburger? Just
literally the word.
Said.
Yeah, okay. But just say, like, you know, you say hot dog instead of hot dog,
okay.
Right? Or dona instead of donut.
Interesting.
It's okay. Literally, right? So... Yeah, it's been a heavy influence literally since the beginning of the century. You know, the 1900s was a big thing. And my family, my mom's side of the family, basically moved to the United States in the 50s during Eisenhower.
Wow.
Literally.
Okay.
Only my grandfather stayed in the Dominican Republic. Only my grandfather. So, and then my grandfather and my grandma had my mom and then three other, my aunts. And then, you know, the story begins, right? So when I was three, I was put into an American school sponsored by the embassy, St. Thomas, and my brothers as well. I am one of three. I'm the middle child.
Middle child.
And that
are the best.
Yeah, yeah. Explains probably a lot of things. But honestly, it was a journey. We started, I started from pre-K all the way to 12th grade.
Is there any like young, were you, this is a dumb question.
No,
were you born in the DR?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you said three was when you were in the States.
Yeah. No. So this whole time I've always been in the Dominican Republic.
Gotcha.
I never touched the United States of America. I mean, I visit it 2 to 3 times a year.
Okay. But they had a school in the DR.
They were.
That was like owned by the U.S.
There were several schools that were sponsored by the United States Embassy in the Dominican Republic.
Got it.
Because you have diplomats. You have sons and daughters of, of government officials that reside in the DR, part of international organizations, part of the military, stuff like that. And we were in one of those schools. The second largest, actually. There's a
wow.
biggest, there's the biggest one was Carol Morgan School. And then a lot of other schools started copying and becoming privatized,
yeah,
luring in more Dominican children so they, you know, could have both languages and be bilingual. And but it was honestly, it felt honestly, Bryant, like I was in the U.S. while being in the DR.
Yeah.
We sang the national anthem. We did the Pledge of Allegiance.
I did that in school too, by the way.
We celebrated 4th of July, Thanksgiving. We went trick-or-treating, even though the Dominicans don't even know what Halloween is. It was really fun because I had the immersion of both cultures, the Dominican and the American.
Now, this was from all through school, right?
This was all through school.
Like all through up to high
all
school.
In the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah. We kept visiting 2 to 3 times a year. We loved going to Disney,
oh, yeah,
coming to New York City to visit my my mom's folks and the rest of the family.
Where did they live again? Where did your mom's side when
so
they moved?
When they came through Ellis Island.
Okay. Oh, no way.
Yeah, yeah. And they based themselves in Upper Harlem in New York City.
Got it, yeah.
And then they ended up moving to Washington Heights. And then from Washington Heights, they ended up in the Bronx.
Okay.
And that's where they still are right now.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah. But cool. A lot of the family also, like, went everywhere. I have cousins in Texas, cousins in North Carolina, cousins in Florida, cousins in Hawaii, actually.
What's the biggest difference culturally from, like, the DR to here?
That's a profound, yeah, question. I would say, I think it's just, so one of the things that has impressed me the most, it's how similar we are. Honestly, that's what I'm saying. Like the United States has had such an influence over the Dominican Republic that you would think that our customs and traditions would be more inclined to the Aborigines that started in the island, or people that came from Spain, or it's just a mix thing. Yeah. We are very similar in that regard. We are a melting pot of different cultures that has helped me adapt better in the United States because I already had that at home. If I had to like put something different, would be probably weather, food. I would say personalities. I think we're more, we're less... We're more dependent on the family structure, I would say, also. I think the traditional American is very independent because you guys have the openness to be. Also, space. This country's massive.
Yeah.
I never expected to drive from, you know, southern Michigan to the Strait of Mackinac for 3.5 hours,
and
4 hours.
And still be in Michigan.
And still missing 6 whole hours over the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah.
You can drive the Dominican Republic in 3.5 hours.
Wow. Wow.
From beginning to end.
So you said your mom's side of the family moved over here.
Yes.
In the 50s.
In the correct? 50s and 60s,
so
yes.
When you were in the DR, mm-hmm, who were you raised by?
So my mom, my dad, I mean, we were there. My dad is from the southern part of the island. My mom is from the eastern side of the island. They never had any influence with the United States.
Okay.
So my grandpa and my grandma and their 4 daughters were the only people left in the Dominican Republic. And it stayed like that till this day. The only one that ended up here that did not come with the original part is me now.
Ah, yes.
So I resumed the trend of relocating. But of course, for me, it has been so easy because my parents gave us from the beginning all the tools that we needed in order to succeed here,
mm-hmm,
right? We were raised in a Dominican household, but with American values, core values,
yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, we understood everything that went on here because it was so heavily followed. We felt the immersion of the culture because everything that was given us, that was given to us at school, had everything to do with what you guys were going or enduring here. Mm-hmm. You know, we followed a holiday, celebrations, elections. Like, we, all these cycles, like, we had, it was this piece of the U.S. in the Dominican Republic, and that helped me have the openness that a lot of people lack in the DR because we do come from a close-minded society. Mm-hmm. So that I think that that is an attribute that went heavily underrated to all of the kids that had the opportunity to be in an American school. So like when I came here and we visited all the monuments, like I knew what everything was. I was super excited, but the anticipation had already like dwelled down a little bit because, you know, for example, when we went to, I don't know, to the Smithsonian's in Washington, D.C., like those were on my phonics books. You know, like those were in my language arts.
You're like, I've seen this already.
When we went to the Lincoln Memorial and you saw that massive statue of Abraham Lincoln, it was like, oh, yeah, that's great. But I've seen that in my books. Right. Yeah, so yeah. I feel like it's definitely something that my brothers and I have not taken for granted, especially because we all also came here for college. You know, for example, my older brother and I both have master's degrees from here, and my little brother is currently studying right now also here. So it's just the pattern. We started in an American school. We went all the way through 12th grade there. So and then we came for college here, and then we got our master's degree. It's like we have the full scheme of the American education system, even without being part of it.
Wow. Yeah. That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Now, do you still have a relationship with your brothers?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you talk to them all the time?
Oh, all the time.
Well, Mike, do you ever get to visit back to, like, the DR?
Yes, of course.
Because you still have family there, right? Did you say?
Yeah. All my family's there. I'm the only one from the nuclear family that literally came here.
Man. How often do you go visit? Or do you get to visit, I should say?
I mean, right now, maybe twice a year.
Twice a year?
Yeah.
How long? A couple days? Or, like, do you try to do, like,
no, a couple, week, couple weeks? Days, 5-6 days. Okay. The DR is not very big, so.
Yeah. You get so, what's something about the DR that outsiders, like, wouldn't understand? Like if the U.S., like, if I went to the DR.
Yeah. Traffic, man.
Traffic?
Traffic. Oh,
Don't tell me that.
So,
I hate traffic.
Funny story. My parents are terrified of... So, Victoria's dad, my wife, Victoria...
By the way, side note, Victor and Victoria, incredible. Incredible. That's a Hallmark movie waiting to happen.
It's two peas in a pod. So the funny thing is that my parents are terrified because Victoria's dad is a certified Jeeper. Dude loves Jeeps.
Oh, like Wranglers?
He is obsessed with them. To the point that I was like, wow, this is the most amazing and creative thing I've ever seen, because he literally, so one of the, I think it was the CJ, it's 1983 CJ Jeep Wrangler, was completely like in parts and he put it back together and it ran, Brian. Everything ran.
I can't even do an oil
perfectly.
Change.
So that's when I knew, okay, my father-in-law is the goat of Jeeps. So there's a lot of Jeeps in the Dominican Republic that could be rented because we have sand dunes, we have mountainous terrains, we have a lot of, like, for example, you can drive on the super long beach shores in the eastern side of the island with Jeeps. And he has always wanted to rent one. Okay. However, my parents are terrified because even there, traffic is so bad. And honestly, you know, I'm pretty sure my fellow Dominicans are not going to get upset at what I'm going to say. But we suck driving. we're not
that much better over here.
No, but honestly, you guys at least follow some rules. You know,
that's fair.
We don't know how to yield or when to yield.
Okay.
We barely follow any lights. You know, if it's red, it still means you can go forward, you know? There are just so many things that have happened here in my process of adaptation to the American society that I was like, I was not trained for this. You know, so I think that if people were to ask me what is something that we wouldn't understand, I think it would be traffic.
Traffic. Now, is it touristy down there? Are there like tourist, not traps, but like are there like destinations?
Yes, absolutely.
Like where?
Punta Cana is the big one. Punta Cana is like head to head with Cancun right now. No, it's fine. The thing with Punta Cana is that Punta Cana has internationalized so much that people are fragmenting Punta Cana and thinking it's its own thing. that it's not part of the DR.
Yeah.
It's like, for example, you going to the Virgin Islands. Sometimes people think that, oh, do we need passports for the Virgin Islands? It's a U.S. territory. Mm. You don't, right? Or Puerto Rico, right? But Punta Cana is already in the island. It's the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And people like usually like put it out.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just the DR. But we have Punta Cana, we have La Romana, we have Bávaro, we have Puerto Plata, we have Samaná, we have Bahía de las Águilas, we have Santo Domingo, that's where I come from, but also we have Montecristi. There's a lot of tourists, but I like the word trap because I think it is. I think that one is Punta Cana right now.
Punta Cana?
It's the Cancun
of the DR.
The DR.
Okay.
Correct. And it's actually going like head-to-head with Cancun right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I want to hit on something else too. You mentioned your wife, Victoria.
Yes.
How did you two meet? Ooh. I kind of have a vague idea. My first interaction, by the way, with Victoria was without you present.
And yes.
She goes, oh, my future husband from, you know, the DR.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, whoa. Wait, what?
How did this come to be?
So enlighten us.
So, you know, in my path of receiving an American education for college, I came to the beautiful state of Michigan. I know you, Ohioans.
Say easy here. We're here in Columbus, so easy.
I know. It's just,
it is a beautiful state. It is a very beautiful state.
It is.
North of Detroit. North of Detroit. Everything south of Detroit is like.
Well, good, because Victoria is, it's considered metropolitan Detroit, but it's northernish.
Okay.
I think it's a northwestern Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah. She's from
acceptable
Howell Heartland area. Close to South Lyon, actually.
Oh yeah. Where my wife is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, we met in Kalamazoo of all places. Kalamazoo in the western side of the state in a small college town. And the university, Western Michigan University, home of the Broncos, were, by the way, 2024 hockey national champions.
Wow.
I know, right?
Didn't know that.
First in program history. All right. Very excited to come from Western. We met there. I came in 2018 in August, and we met in November, and that's basically where our...
That's where the story started.
Right. We were immediately connected. It was an incredible experience to know someone that, you know, reacted to things just like me. We have very similar personalities. And that's when I knew that everything that my parents gave me growing up, you know, all these tools and tips and stuff that I absorbed from school, I finally could put it into practice, you know? So it was great. It was amazing. I have a lot of like first things that happened to me in the US with Victoria. Like, for example, on our first date, it was my first ever snow.
Like, you saw snow for the first time?
I saw snow for the first time. I had seen ice. We went to the Grand Canyon years before, but we didn't see snow actively falling, right? That was my first actual snowfall. We went to see a movie, and then we went to have dinner, and then we just talked. We talked for forever. I remember the date started like at 7 in the afternoon, 7 at night, and it ended up like at 3 in the morning. We were just talking in a parking lot.
Those are the best dates, though.
Getting along.
Those are the best.
Yeah. And everything just kept going from there. We come from different backgrounds in the sense that, of course, her parents are more active on like the do-it-yourself stuff. In the DR, there's not a lot of that tradition. Mm-hmm. We usually, because people need so many jobs, they offer to do everything. So there's, you know, different professions you can pursue in the Dominican Republic. Like, you can be a gas pump person, literally.
Dang.
Or you can, you know, there's an actual, like, people go wash your car home. Or stuff like that, you know? It's just like a lot of things that are probably weird to see here. But the most shocking thing about my date with Victoria was that it was something that started as, okay, like, you know, I'm Dominican and you are American. Like, tell me.
I was going to bring that up. So you two meet.
Yeah.
Sparks fly.
Yes.
Doves fly.
Yeah. All
rainbows are in the sky.
It was the whole shenanigans, yeah.
And then you leave, right? You have to go. Do you go back to to the DR?
Yes. Yeah, so it was 6 months that I finished my college career here, and I had to fly back to the DR. But I knew I was going to come back to do my master's degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how long of a time period were you two in Kalamazoo before you had to go back to the DR?
So from November 2018 till May 2019.
Okay. And did you get engaged during that time? I cannot remember.
No. That's where everything just started. I came back from Kalamazoo to Santo Domingo on the 21st of May, 2019.
Okay.
I flew back with my friends, and I immediately started doing the process of re-enrolling, because I came back to the same university to do my master's degree in business strategy. And Victoria had left to Pennsylvania to pursue a job career at Penn State. Mm-hmm. She became their graphic designer, and that was probably about maybe 2 weeks before I came back to the DR. We were helping her move in. I couldn't go, but her family was helping her move in, and then she came back and we said goodbye. But then the story resumed. I came back to Kalamazoo in September 2019, enrolled as a master's degree student, as a graduate student, and I went to State College to visit Victoria every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, came back. Every 2 weeks, I went to Pennsylvania. And then COVID hit.
Mm.
COVID hit, and I stayed. That was my first full year in the United States without returning home. I was an international student still, but I had the ability to, you know, stay during the whole pandemic.
Wow.
And that's where everything clicked to me. Like, that's where I knew that I belonged to this family. That's where I knew that I had a future with Victoria. And that's when, you know, the gears started turning. It's like, okay, she will be my wife.
Man.
So
that's a cool story.
It is a cool story, you know, and my master's degree was not a short program. I was in the United States for 1 year and 8 months. And then I did return indefinitely without knowing I was not going to come back for a while to the U.S. in May 2021. So then what started happening was Victoria increased her visits to the DR. I could, you know, still come, but mm-hmm. as a tourist, mm-hmm. because I still had the ability to do that. But after that, I co-founded a logistics company in the Dominican Republic that gained huge success really fast. So I was very busy. I was a very busy man. But at the end of the day, that led me to pursue a career in logistics here mm-hmm. right now. So everything came full circle.
Yeah. And you became a citizen here, right?
Not yet.
Not yet. You're in the process.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. I am still a permanent resident.
Yeah.
But I will be aiming to obtain my citizenship in 2 years.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
What's the protocol with that?
Yeah. So it's very simple. Victoria is a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. right? So the trajectory that I have to follow is a very clear one. Since we were not married for more than 2 years, I have what it's called a CR1 or a CR2, which is a conditional resident mm-hmm. status.
Mm-hmm.
I still am a full-fledged U.S. permanent resident.
Yeah.
But because Victoria is a U.S. citizen, she allows me to shrink the 5-year period to obtain a citizenship to 3 years.
Oh, nice.
So since I've already had my green card for 2 years, I will apply to remove my conditions. And after I remove my conditions, I can apply for naturalization.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's
very
cool.
Simple.
Yeah. It seems more difficult than it is, but then once you break it down like that,
It's just being part of the community and being really informed about how you can make the best out of the time of you being in your process of naturalization, which I am so excited.
Oh yeah.
I am so excited.
Dude,
so excited.
All right, I want to switch gears a little bit here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about food.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm a cook.
You're a big food fanatic.
I am a big food fanatic, yes.
So what is the
biggest...
What do
you want to know?
Dude, I want to know everything. What is... First off, go over the food culture in the DR.
Oh, it's massive. Yeah. It's incredible. Everything is connected through food in the DR. Everything
now,
is.
Where did you learn to cook? Because, by the way, everybody, Victor is an incredible chef.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to call you a chef because you are. Your dishes that you make...
Oh, thanks.
My mouth is watering right now talking about it.
It's...
Where did you learn to do that?
My grandma.
Really?
Yeah. It's all
shout
from
out to grandmas out
so,
there, man.
Doña Emilia, you know, mama, if you can hear me. No, honestly, my grandma, she learned me. She taught me everything I know. I learned everything I had to know from her. I still learn stuff from her right now. She's 83 right now, but she's still very much kicking. And everything I learned... it's through my grandma. Of course, I learned a lot about cooking from my own household, from my mom, from my aunts as well. But honestly, they also learned from grandma. So grandma has full credit.
Good. Good. As she should. She should.
Grandma had a way of teaching that everything is about seasonings. Everything in food, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, is seasonings. I think that, you know, cooking time is important. The quality of food is also important. But if you have the right seasonings for the type of food that you're cooking, you're going to be a great chef.
What is your favorite dish that you learned to make from your grandma?
So my favorite dish that I learned to make from my grandma is the Los Tres Golpes. It's called in the Dominican Republic. It's mashed plantains with fried cheese and fried salami. They're all fried. The parts that are fried in its own oils. Like, for example, you fry the salami first, and then you fry the fried cheese in the salami oil.
Now talk to me about that salami, because my U.S. brain is going to, like, so, from the deli aisle, packet of hard salami.
So it's hard to explain.
Is it like the sausage? Is it like a link of...
It's like hard
salami where...
It's like, imagine like an Italian sub...
Okay.
But it's the width of the actual rounds of salami are probably an inch.
Okay. I got you. Okay.
Yeah. And then you can also put with the mashed plantains, you can put some caramelized onions or salted onions as well, depending on your taste. You know, I know that a lot of people in the Dominican Republic prefer more like vinaigrette onions, right? But I've had... sweet onions, I've had big onions, small onions, I've had it with garlic, I also have had it with eggs, you know, over easy, sunny side up, whatever.
Is there anything you hate making? Let's say you're at home and Victoria's like, I've got a craving for this, and you don't want to make it.
No, honestly, I love making anything.
Anything? Okay, that's good. I mean, when it comes to food, dude, come on.
I love making anything. There are some complicated things that...
I was going to ask, what's the most difficult one?
Beyond of my realm that I do need still help from mom or grandma.
And your grandma's just over there with eight arms, just...
Mm-hmm. It's just... And like sometimes
the octopus from Monsters, Inc., just all the...
Yeah, so,
effortlessly.
So, you know, when grandma has to be like Octopus from Monsters, Inc., it's for what we call sancocho. Sancocho is a stew. It's a stew, but it's like it has the consistency of gumbo. Like, have you had gumbo?
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, I've had U.S. gumbo.
That's the only gumbo I know.
Okay.
But honestly, it's... The consistency, it's like if it's a stew. Have you, like, let me see. We use a lot of, Halloween fruit. Pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like if you use a lot of pumpkin with this as the base.
Interesting.
And it melts with the broth. And the consistency becomes kind of creamy, but not really that creamy. And then you put veggies in it. You put all the type of meat that you want. We put, you mentioned it, like pork, chicken, beef, chorizo, whatever you want. And, you know, people, you know, make it more like a gumbo if they want to. They put some rice in it, or they don't do that and just put the rice after, or just pour it over the rice. It's a very traditional thing. But if I were to sit here and tell you a lot of, like, for example, I'm talking mostly of my mom's side of things.
Yeah.
My dad, his dad and his parents and all his background is really interesting. They come from the southern part of the island, and it's all from the earth, like, or animals and cattle. They
okay.
eat everything. Good. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
So I also have two parts within me, like, you know, my mom and my dad. And we grew up with both culinary experiences from either side of the family. If I had to choose one, of course, I would go with my mom's. It's more internationally recognized and it's more typical. However, with my dad, it's more atypical, still delicious.
Yeah.
But if I were to tell you what I eat on my dad, you would be like, yeah, no, dude.
Give me the other one. No. Give me the other one.
Yeah, it's because of, like, the geographic location. It's more underdeveloped, let's call it like that.
What's the most frustrating thing about food that you've learned from being here in the States? Like, what do we do up here that just frustrates you to no end
when it comes to food? I cannot get all my seasonings here. I just can't.
Really?
Yep.
See, I feel like I go to, like, the Kroger aisle in the seasonings, and there's like 500 of these things.
So, yes and no. You know, for example, like, if you go, you would have to go to very niche places to find things, right? We use, for example, in the DR, we use a lot of, like, mushed oregano, but you make your own oregano. It's not just the powder. Right. Or, for example, we have sofrito, or we have like garlic paste instead of just, like, everything here. I feel like it's very powdery. Everything. Yeah. I mean, it gives a good touch. Right. It is seasoned.
Yeah.
It's not the seasoned the way that I grew up with. Right. So, and it's very hard to bring those things in the, you know, without agriculture stopping you in the airport and telling, like, hey, man, like, I know you want to cook your own stuff, but, you know, dial it down.
But let me handle it.
Correct. You cannot bring this here. So, it has been that, I think that has been the biggest challenge. It's finding the right seasonings for typical things that I grew up with. Of course, there's new recipes that I have adapted to the American cuisine. But of course I would, if I had to choose, I would go with the, you know, the actual,
oh yeah, the real stuff.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Unlimited access stuff, if you will.
So there's things on the seasoning side. There's also some, like, vegetables that I can find here that I like from home. Like, for example, yuca is something, it comes from the earth. It's an actual root. It's delicious. Mm. You eat it with, you know, you put some, we call it ajillo. It's you put some butter with some salt, spices, and you fill it up. Well, not fill it up. You pour it over, and it becomes, like, really soft, really tender. You eat it with meat. It's really, really good.
So we're going to your house after this.
Yeah, I don't have everything I've mentioned so far. And, you know, it's hard to find these things here, especially, like, I do think, though, it depends on the geographical location of the U.S. Like, if you go to New York City, where my family is, you find those things. You find them. You go to Florida. If you're, like, in Miami, southeastern Florida, you find those things.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of Columbus, Ohio here.
Yeah. That's
or,
fair.
Or, you know, Kalamazoo, Michigan, or Howell,
that's
Michigan.
Fair.
Not really, but it's okay. It's fine. We still love a lot of things from here.
Cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Victor, this has been, man, what a story. That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad that you met your wife because of this journey.
One
thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Your faith journey through this.
Yes.
Real quick.
Oh, my goodness. Such a big part.
When were you introduced to Jesus? Were you raised that way in the DR?
So yes, of course. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so we grew up Catholic in the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic is one of the most devoted countries when it comes to, like, Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very pure, very ritualistic, right? We're like 87% Catholic. But I also grew up with the with, of course, I was like baptized as a kid. I grew up with the knowledge of having the, like this, like God being revered. Like everything that we did was with the knowledge that there's, you know, the Holy Trinity, mm-hmm. right? It's this pedestal that is just there, that is impossible to reach. And everything we did, our actions, our, you know, how we interacted with society, how we talked to our parents, how do we talk to our friends, was with this reverence of God, right? And that made us just increase on the faith journey and just admire and just be so respectful and just pray and just, it felt like, and this was passed down to us through like generations, because this is something, and I think this is, I don't want to say that this is exclusive to my family, but my family practiced this reverence very well. You know, if it's only God's will, it's God's will, and God's timings are perfect. That's what was, I think that's the phrase that was repeated the most to me when I was
growing up. God's timing is perfect.
God's timings are perfect. But honestly, it helped me a lot as well when I came here to the U.S. because I already had most of my heart was already like transformed into being Jesus's. And of course, I did all the sacraments that you do in the Catholic side, but also coming here and meeting Victoria's family, it was something that it's very interesting to see, because we have other rituals that we practice, right? Which are more, for example, inclined towards reading the Bible and get like being one with the Bible.
The personal aspect.
Correct.
Side.
Correct. Yeah. That you could not say it better. So I feel like I've taken both sides and I've combined them and just grown so much. And through this journey with, of course, becoming a permanent resident and being away from my family, but also being part of this new family, and being, of course, here in LCC, I felt so compelled and just giving more to Jesus. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely.
It's feeling the presence and just like through worship or being parts of groups.
I say our small group together,
Huge props to groups, man. I honestly...
Another plug for groups, telling you.
It is the best thing I've ever been part of when it comes to like community level. Mm-hmm. You know, you see people grow. You see yourself grow, like literally day in, day out. Every week we come, everything we bring to the table to discuss. It's just something beautiful to see and to know that our Lord is just there with us, just casually, you know, talking, going over the message for the previous week or preparing ourselves for the message for the coming week. Mm-hmm. It's just something undeniable. You just feel like the divinity just overflow in you. And that is something that I've definitely like had to attribute to being part of this community here in LCC, because when I came here, I don't know, I know Victoria repeats the story pretty much, but we all praise Jesus. We are all his children, but you know, his children are different. Children are different. And for me, it's something, it hits home, because I like to see people that are similar to me, right? Mm-hmm. Praising the Lord. And when I came to LCC, I got that. I literally saw people that were just like me, you know, very similar to me at least. And I felt that I came home. And once you have that feeling of like feeling that you're at home, there's no return.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you found your home here.
Absolutely.
Very excited. We love having you here.
Oh, thank you. And it's been incredible. I cannot wait to see where our story with LCC keeps us, you know, around
to that.
Taken.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your opinion on this then? If you're, because you're a new homeowner.
Yep.
Are you having any work done in the house?
Like
where someone has to come out?
No.
Did you owned a condo prior, right?
Yes.
Did you have anybody come out to do work? in the condo? Like,
yes.
Repair HVAC system or something like
that? Oh, yeah, for sure. Install our radon system.
So what's the protocol? What do you do when they're doing work in your house?
So, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm used to that.
But what do you do?
So coming from a country in which people just like come to your house and do everything for you, I sit down.
You just do your own thing.
Scroll on my phone.
Do you ever like get up? Like if they're in another room, do you ever go into that other room?
No.
And like just no. Silently announce, hey, I'm here.
No, Victoria does that. Victoria okay. does do that. You know, she is observant. You know, she's a she always will look. But I also think that we have different personalities. Like I would, if
you just
if,
go about if, your business.
And also sometimes though, if I'm in the mood, I go and I talk to them.
That's what my father-in-law does that.
He would just establish conversation with whomever walks into my house. You know, okay. if someone comes in and wants to like repair my HVAC or something, I'm just like, hey, so
cool.
What are you doing after this?
Yeah. I'll be on the couch. I'll just be watching my show.
You know, like what were you doing before you came here? You know, I was like, where are you coming from? So
all right,
yeah.
So Victor has no shame, and he'll just talk to them.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. Well, Victor, thanks for your time, man.
Thanks.
What a story. Thanks for being here, being a sport. Yeah. We'll see you in group.
Sounds good.
On Tuesday.
Thanks, everyone.
And everybody listening, we'll see you on the next Conversation in Community.